This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. We have music and theater on the show today, beginning with theater, a preview of Parkland College Theater's 2010-2011 season, which actually opens next week on the 22nd with a comedy called Duck Hunter Shoots Angel. Dallas Street of Parkland Theater is here to give us that preview. And then in the second portion of the show, the wonderful singer and actor Dee Dee Bridgewater will be with us. She is going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts this Saturday evening with a program called To Billy with Love, a celebration of Lady Day, Billie Holiday. That's Dee Dee Bridgewater coming up later on the show. And here she is in a disc called This Is New with the songs of Kurt Vile. Dee Dee Bridgewater in her own rather distinctive rendition of Kurt Vile's Alabama song on her disc called This Is New. She's going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana this Saturday, and she'll be my guest on, rather shortly, about 20 minutes or so here on Live and Local. And first, we are talking with Dallas Street for Parkland College Theater. He's the theater marketing coordinator, and they are about to open their new season, which, as usual, has some wonderful plays that you have probably heard of, and inevitably some you probably haven't. Probably the most likely you not to have heard of, at least I hadn't, is the first one, which is next week. Dallas, thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Duck Hunter Shoots Angel.
Yeah, it's a very clever comedy by Mitch Albom, the author who wrote Tuesdays with Maury, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. He's also a wonderful playwright, and it's a very, you know, quirky comedy about a couple of duck hunting brothers in Alabama, one who has claimed to have accidentally shot an angel in the swamps, and he's a big fan of tabloid journalism. And it turns out some tabloid journalists are on their way from New York City to investigate this story. So it's about city meets country, red state, blue state. But it's also a show that has a great deal of heart, and it's mostly just funny. It's one of those shows that you can just sit back and smile and let it come to you.
I'm just looking at your brochure, which you just handed me. Refers to a world where potato chips shaped like deities are newsworthy, Elvis repeatedly cited, and all of that sort of thing. So this is the kind of humor that shows
right.
up in this one.
Yeah, a very, very broad. It's kind of similar in theme to the musical we did a few years ago, Bat Boy, the musical.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was based on a story in the Weekly World News about the bat child found in cave. So it's similar to that, and very funny, very funny. Directed by Tom Schnare and a cast of theater veterans, you know, around town.
Parkland, although it's associated with, I mean, it's obviously part of Parkland College, does not limit its actors to Parkland College.
Right. We consider ourselves an educational theater for our students that is also community inclusive. So our students gain great knowledge by working with people who have been around, who have a little more experience. And I think it really helps our program across the board to be able to have age-specific actors in roles and also wonderful opportunities for our students as well.
Well, you said you made reference to veteran actors around here, and there seems to be, although you don't exactly have a troupe of actors, because obviously students come in and out. But there are some quite regular actors who don't seem to show up on other people's stages. I'm guessing there's a sort of loyalty to Parkland in the case of some.
I think it depends on the actor. I know with this show, we have A lot of the actors who have just recently worked at the Station Theater, some who have worked with CUTC, as well as, you know, Parkland regulars. Melissa Murley wrote an article, or that should be coming out tomorrow about us, where we kind of focused on actors who kind of make the rounds and, you know, perform at the different theaters around town. But yes, I mean, you will find some people who are kind of specific and loyal to a certain theater, and those who, you know, hop around from theater to theater.
Who all is in this particular production that folks might recognize?
Brad Mertens, who has done more shows at Parkland than anybody. He was the father and Father of the Bride. He plays one of the duck hunters. Tom Miller, who was, I think, most recently probably seen in Doubt as Father Flynn at the Station Theater. Chris Tabor, Rob Zaleski, they were in The Little Dog Laughed at the Station Theater this past summer. And then we have a lot of returning students in the cast and a lot of people that you'll say, hey, I know that person. We have Chad Myler, who's one of the duck hunters, plays Duell, and he's from originally, I think, the Oakwood area, has worked a lot in Danville and Rantoul. And this is, I think, his largest role that he'll, you know, be doing for us.
Brad was one of the ones I was thinking of, who I've seen at Parkland a number of times.
Right.
And you show up every once in a while on stage.
Every once in a while, I will take a hiatus from the ticket office counter and get on the boards, yes.
What was the last show you were in? I think, I don't know if there was one more recent than the one I saw.
The last one I was in at Parkland was Flight of the Lawn Chair Man.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Last summer, I did a kind of a working vacation in Macon, Missouri, playing Alfred Doolittle in kind of a summer stock version of My Fair Lady. That was a good experience.
Alfred Doolittle would be a wonderful role, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. It was, you know, basically around 15 to 20 minutes on stage. I had a number in the first act. It was in a very small town, Macon, Missouri. And I would do my number, kind of get dressed, walk around the square, town square, antiquing. And it's such a small town. And they said, Dallas, shouldn't you be on stage? And I'd say, oh, you know, I've got another hour and a half before get me to the church on time. But it was a great time.
Duck Hunter Shoots Angel starts next, is it Thursday the 22nd?
Wednesday the 22nd.
Wednesday. And you sometimes do Wednesday previews or
our preview,
half price shows or something?
Yeah,
like that.
We have lots of discount nights. Our opening nights for all of the shows except for the student production are now pay what you can night. So you can pay full price, half price, pocket change. We just want to make sure that theater is affordable for everyone.
And these are which nights?
Opening night, Wednesday night of each show except for the student production. We also have a half price night, which typically falls on a Thursday. And our after our opening Wednesday night, the following Friday night, we have our camouflage night where you can wear camouflage or Hunter Orange to the theater and pay half price. And there's a great talk back with the actors and cast and staff after the show.
Sounds like fun. And then your next show is one that, of course, is very well known, the Glass Menagerie of Tennessee Williams. Mm-hmm. How do the shows get chosen for Parkland Theater?
Well, it just happens Randy Collins Hart is directing this one, and she's the artistic director, and she takes submissions from directors around town who are passionate about a show, and or she'll have a show that, you know, that's a great property, but and maybe we'll match that with one of the directors. But she goes through a long, arduous process of balancing, you know, diversity, you know, opportunities for students, musicals, you know, just exposing our audiences and students to different types of theater. So she is heading up the Glass Menagerie, and she's got an excellent vision for it. She's working with the scenic designer who he's now, I believe, the art director on Showtime's Dexter, Adam Rao, who came from out of the University of Illinois, the scenic design program. And even though he has a life in L.A., he continues to design shows for Parkland Theater, you know, through email.
That's terrific.
Yeah. So they've been working on the visuals for this show for a while now, and it should be stunning.
Designed by email.
You're right.
It's probably not all that new a concept, I mean, in the scheme of things now, but relatively new, I guess.
Right.
And then she's going to do, Randy's going to direct also one of your two musicals, well, musical comedies anyway, Once Upon a Mattress.
Right.
Next to last show of the season.
Yeah, that will be in the spring. And Randy's been at Parkland for a while, and one of her goals is to not try to repeat any show during her tenure there. So we're now getting around to, you know, finding, I mean, great shows that we've overlooked. And she's found Once Upon a Mattress, which is a classic musical comedy from the 60s, originally starred Carol Burnett, which kind of launched her career. And it's a musical retelling of, you know, The Princess and the Pea.
You know, actually, coming back to the Glass Menagerie, I was going to ask whether Tim Shermer was doing a show this year, because he often, I don't know if it's every year, but he often will do shows where he writes the music for them, either the original musicals or, in this case, for Glass Menagerie, mm-hmm. I gather it's not a musical, or is he just providing like incidental music?
He's providing incidental music. He's worked with Randy on numerous occasions, providing a background score. Last year, or a few seasons ago, they did Five Kinds of Silence, which was a very dark domestic drama, also designed by Adam Rau, and he created, you know, the incidental music for the play, and he'll be composing again for the Glass Menagerie.
Tim Shermer is director of fine arts. Is that his title or something like that?
I think the program director of music.
Of music.
Yeah.
Then another of the nonsense shows.
Right, right. This season we're Christmas Carol is kind of taking a hiatus, and we're riding the popularity of our nonsense productions. So this will be the third nonsense we've done. It's Nuncrackers, and it's kind of the Christmas version of the nonsense show geared toward for the holiday season. So it should be nothing but a good time.
That's starting December 1st. And you always do at least two weekends, sometimes more,
mm-hmm.
for these shows.
We've started adding more Saturday matinees, because we did that a lot with A Christmas Carol. And so three of our productions this year have two show days. So Nuncrackers, Once Upon an Island, Once Upon a Mattress, rather, and our final show of the year, The Little Prince, will have two show days.
Little Prince is almost an opera, isn't it?
Well, I think it depends on the adaptation. This one isn't. I believe there was a Broadway musical version of it.
Maybe that's what
Alan
I'm thinking
J. Lerner
of.
In the 70s with Michael York that wasn't that successful. But this is basically just a stage version.
A straight play. Jennifer Garand's going to direct that. She's the one director for this season who's not on faculty at Parkland, right?
Yeah, as it turns out. But she has directed for us numerous times in the past. The Orphan Train and The Phantom Toll Booth, and this was a show that's dear to her heart, and it's a dear story to me as well, and I'm sure the audience is too. But that's going to be another visually stunning show. At least reading the script, it's very imaginative.
I don't think I ever actually read the book, The Little Prince.
It's about an aviator who crash lands in the Sahara Desert, and he finds this little prince who, at one point, if I'm remembering right, ruled his own planet. And the little prince just kind of teaches the aviator a different way to look at the world and life. And it's a very simple and story and very moving. Yes.
If somebody wants to get tickets or get a brochure, which mm-hmm. you just handed me, how do they go about that?
Well, our easiest way is to go online at parkland.edu/theater. You can sign up for our mailing list. Follow us on Facebook as well. Reservations, you can make them on our website, or you can call our ticket office line, 351-2528. We try to keep it a very laid-back process. We don't require anyone to pay in advance. We just simply hold the tickets for you at the theater under your name, and you can purchase them when you arrive, because we realize that people's plans change. And our theater seats about 315, so it's open seating. There's really not a bad seat in the place.
Yeah, and whoever your photographers are, I always think do a wonderful job. The brochure has some inevitably very funny pictures, and I'm just reminded whenever you go to Parkland, there's always photos all around the lobby area of past shows,
right,
which change, and I'm always reminded of just looking at the pictures of some really terrific shows I've seen.
Well, we're also lucky enough that our facility technical director is also a professional photographer, Bernie Wolf. So he will take shots of during our dress rehearsals and performances, and that's the way we get our excellent photos. And we're very proud of our walls. I mean, you can walk down the hallways and relive past productions, and I think it's very striking.
Well, and it's a nice reliving, because I've seen lots of shows at Parkland, never enough, because I can't remember ever seeing one I thought was remotely bad.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I mean, I've always been really impressed with Parkland Productions, and there's one that's always, aside from Bat Boy, there's one that has always stood out for me many years ago. I don't know how many it's been now. I've seen 4 productions of Sweeney Todd, I guess 3 stage plus the movie. There might have been a 4th stage one. And that, as far as I was concerned, was still the best.
You know, that was my first show at Parkland Theater.
Really?
Yes, I was in the ensemble, and I believe that's when the theater started exploding at Parkland. There was a shift in people coming out to audition. It really drew a large group of people, Sondheim. It was a love of Sondheim that, got me to audition for that show. And a lot of my core friends did as well. Mary Eisenhart, who has been in many Parkland shows, she was in the ensemble with me as well.
Wow. Do you remember the name of the woman who was Mrs. Lovett?
Yes, Gemma Wall.
What happened to her?
Gemma is back in England. She was from London, going to school here at the University of Illinois, and she's back in England.
She's the most hilarious Mrs. Lovett I've seen.
And it's so funny, because fabulous. When her father came to see the show, her father criticized her about her accent. He said, "Gemma, you are all over the provinces. You've got to pinpoint your accent." But she was amazing.
Well, just a good indicator of the quality of Parkland shows. So congratulations to everybody at Parkland Theater who's kept that going.
Well, thank you.
And Dallas Street, thanks for coming in. It's Parkland College Theater's 2010-2011 season opens next Wednesday, the 22nd, with Duck Hunter Shoots Angel by Mitch Albom, directed by Tom Schnari, and it'll run through the 3rd of October. The web address is parkland.edu/theater or
That's
something
right.
like that?
www.parkland.edu/theater.
TheaterE.
Yes.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show today is made possible in part with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center which includes unique and independently owned specialty shops, including Dina's Hallmark and International Galleries. In just a few minutes, Dee Dee Bridgewater, who will be at the Krannert Center in Urbana this Saturday evening.
There once was a girl named Jenny, whose virtues were varied and many. When it comes to this decision, don't make up your mind. Yeah.
My guest on Live and Local for this portion of the program, I'm very pleased to say, is Dee Dee Bridgewater, who is going to be at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts Saturday evening at 7:30, giving a program she calls To Billy with Love, a celebration of Lady Day. And we're speaking with Dee Dee Bridgewater in France, which I guess is one of two homes, more or less. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in Paris right now. And I'm actually about to sell this home.
Oh, and then what?
Yeah. Well, then I'll still be living in the States. And then when I come to France, I will be staying in another apartment.
You'll be a visitor at that point instead of a resident.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of visitors, you're visiting a place that used to be home in Urbana-Champaign, University of Illinois.
That's correct.
Why don't you talk a little bit about, since it's a nice grounding for our listeners here, of what brought you here and how long did you stay and what was your experience like?
Well, it was an intense, concentrated period. I came to Urbana, to the University of Illinois, for a jazz competition with a quintet from Michigan State University, where I was originally, and then I won this competition for female vocal, and then I was invited back by John Garvey, who was the head of the jazz department, and I was the singer for the big band. And we went on a State Department tour to Russia with the University of Illinois Jazz Band. And after that, he asked me to stay. So we made arrangements so that I could transfer to U of I. And I have to confess, I stayed all of 1 month because I started working and singing all over in Champaign and Urbana Danville?
Danville is, yep, half an hour away from
here. Yeah, Danville, Illinois. Yeah, I was just singing all over the place. And that's basically what I did until Cecil Bridgewater, my first husband, and I hooked up. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I was there for, I don't even know if I was in the area for more than 2 years before Cecil and I married and moved to New York City.
Well, and you said when you were here, you were kind of singing all over the place, and I guess that part has never changed.
No.
You're still singing all over the place, just with a slightly higher profile, I guess.
Slightly.
Just slightly. Well, I was looking over your bio, of course, on your website, and you mentioned a couple of influences, mm-hmm. Not least of which was your father, and you also specifically mentioned Ella Fitzgerald. Maybe talking about your father first, as a trumpet player and as a teacher, why don't you tell me a little bit about how he has influenced, how his influence shows up in what you're doing now?
Not very much. my influences were ulterior. What my father did was basically pointed me in the right direction. He introduced me to a friend of his when they were both high school teachers in Memphis, Tennessee, where I was born, and that man's name is Andy Goodrich, who passed away a couple of years ago. And Andy Goodrich is the man that hired me into his quintet, and it became Andy Goodrich Quintet Plus One. And my father basically, he just kind of, if I wanted to sing, he made it possible. So when I was in high school, I entered some talent contests, and I won one, and my prize was to sing in a local club in Flint, Michigan, where I had to be chaperoned by my father, and I had to sit in the kitchen until I sang, and that was really it. He just kind of helped to push me in the direction I wanted to go, but then after that, he let me fly free.
He
exposed me to, you know, jazz music. And my mother was into singers, jazz singers, but more obscure jazz singers. And And that's it. I basically learned just about everything that I've learned in the business from actually just getting out there and trying. And I'd have to say I was very lucky.
Your dad was a trumpet player. Was he a jazz trumpet player?
Mm-hmm. He was a jazz trumpet player. He played every summer in Memphis. The 3 years we were there, he played in the bands of Rufus Thomas and Dinah Washington during breaks. And he was first trumpet. And then he taught a lot of pretty famous musicians that come from Memphis, musicians like Harold Mayburn, George Coleman, Charles Lloyd, Phineas Newborn. Booker Little was a private student of my father's. Let's see, Frank Strozier, a lot of musicians.
Yeah, just not a bad little who's who there of a certain type. What I wanted to ask about the trumpet playing influence is mm-hmm. really a little less direct, I guess. Among the many things you do with your voice is a lot of scat singing, quite virtuosic. How much have you been influenced by instrumental playing in your singing?
Quite a bit, because my first real employer was Thad Jones of the Thad Jones Malouis Orchestra. And my first husband was a trumpet player, and you know, I used to listen on the few gigs that I did with my father. I used to listen to him playing the trumpet, and when he'd warm up around the house, which wasn't very, very frequent. And I've always thought of my voice as a kind of trumpet. And when I scat, I was told by Thad Jones to always listen to instrumentalists, even for singing. He told me to listen to instrumentalists doing, you know, the American songbooks, and so that I would be free to develop my own style instead of listening to other singers, because I can imitate very easily. So I worked with lots of incredible musicians from the time I started. Professionally, I was working with the cream of the top, you know, cream of the crop.
Sonny Rollins, Gillespie, Dexter Gordon, Max Roach. I'm just even looking at your bio, and the list is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, now
mm-hmm.
you're on that list yourself. That other people's, the other people.
Yeah,
include.
Yeah.
And I imagine that there's many, many, many instrumentalists who are told. I mean, certainly in the classical area, and I imagine in the jazz area too, to pay attention to singers. Sort of the opposite, you know, in how they're. How they approach their instrument. And I wonder, besides the imitation aspect of things, which you said you do well, how have you drawn on one of your idols, who was Ella Fitzgerald, and of course for the purpose of this concert this weekend, Billie Holiday?
Well, let me preface that by saying my influence from Ella Fitzgerald was more subliminal. My mother listened to Ella Fitzgerald when she was pregnant with me, and it wasn't until I was putting together the Dear Ella album and was researching music from the earlier part of Ella's career that I discovered that I knew a lot of the songs from the earlier part of her career, not by title, but when I'd listen to them, I'd start humming them, and then I would go like, I know this song. And so finally I called my mom and asked her if she knew all these songs I was listening to, and she would sing each one, and she says, oh, those were the songs I listened to when I was pregnant with you, when you were in my belly.
Wow.
And I remembered them.
And this album wasn't until 1997, so that's a long time for... So you really did sort of
mm-hmm.
take these folks at their word and avoid listening deliberately to vocalists?
Oh, yeah. No, I did not. If I listened to vocalists, they were not jazz. Not jazz at all.
What were they? Who
see.
Were they?
Well, I listened to some pop vocalists. I had albums by Aretha Franklin. I had albums by Dionne Warwick. Nancy Wilson was my first idol. I did listen a lot to Billie Holiday, but that's because Cecil has a very large collection of her stuff. And I really didn't like Billie when I was younger.
Hmm.
I was more impressed with her life. I'd read her autobiography, Lady Sings the Blues, and I felt more of a kinship to the life that she had led and to her music. And it's taken me a long time to really appreciate, you know, the magnitude of that Billie's voice has influenced musicians as well as singers. But it's taken me listening with a, you know, a really, really fine ear, because she didn't have a lot of range. And actually, when I was in the studio recording Eleanor Fagan, the musicians were talking about, they were playing a song that she had sung, an obscure song, and they were like dissecting it. Like, listen to this chord that she's singing this note, and it's part of this chord, and it's kind of atonal on top of this chord, and it's like, how did she hear that stuff? And I'm like, I don't understand what they're talking about. You know? But, you know, for me, Billie was more of a storyteller when I was growing up, and it's not until now, literally now, that I can appreciate her, the musicianship. You know, I believe that a singer had to have a lot of range. I believe that a jazz singer had to be able to scat. I really never thought of her as a musician.
So it was sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and even when I did portray her in a play that I did with music called Lady Day, written by a man named Stephen Stahl, I still was more... I identified more with the person and with the life and then with the voice.
Well, that's
very interesting, huh?
Yeah, that's just what I was going to ask about. Was the Lady Day? So you answered that question,
mm-hmm.
and you've done a lot of acting. You know, how much acting do you do on stage? Your music show. Yeah, because I haven't had a chance to see you live, but I'll fix that on Saturday.
Oh. Well, a lot of the reviewers have called me very dramatic, and I incorporate a lot of my acting skills when I'm performing. I like to kind of act out, you know, ballads, especially if it's something dramatic, like my read on Don't Explain, I like to actually visualize myself in a particular situation and, you know, so that I'm really telling a story. And I think that it's important to tell a story because it helps the listeners appreciate the melodies more and the story that's being told. So I use it a lot also in terms of space. I'm not afraid of space. I am all over the stage. And, you know, I know how to communicate with the public and how to make people laugh. I read an article on Tony Bennett a few years ago where he called himself a jazz entertainer. And I said, that's perfect. That's what I am. I'm a jazz entertainer. Borrow from Tony Bennett.
Dee Dee Bridgewater in the song Good Morning Heartache, made popular by Billie Holiday, written by Irene Higginbotham, Irvin Drake, and Dan Fisher, and that comes off of Dee Dee Bridgewater's most recent album, which is called Eleanor Fagan, To Billie With Love. And To Billie With Love is the name of the program that Dee Dee Bridgewater will give at the Krannert Center this Saturday evening at 7:30, Krannert Center in Urbana. To Billie With Love, a celebration of Lady Day, And we'll continue with our interview with Dee Dee Bridgewater in just a moment here on Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from these business partners: Jarman Center of Tuscola, Family Video Movie Club of Springfield, and Fertilizer Dealer Supply of Philo. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you. We also say thanks to all of the friends who support this station with your financial contributions. And I caught up with Dee Dee Bridgewater yesterday. It was nighttime in Paris when she was sitting at a cafe, and we'll continue the rest of that conversation here on Live and Local. You said early in this conversation that you're very good at imitating other singers, mm-hmm. and so it was a good mm-hmm. reason to avoid. On Saturday, will we be hearing Dee Dee Bridgewater imitating Billie Holiday, or just incorporating Billie Holiday?
Maybe. Sometimes I will, even within the body of a song, I will do maybe a phrase like her, or sing a couple of words like her in the body of the song. And sometimes I'll talk like her, you know. I can talk to you like Billie right now, you know, because she's just a part of me. And sometimes I have conversations between her and myself on stage in front of the public, you know. So
the dramatic Dee Dee Bridgewater will show up on Saturday very much.
Oh, she's the actor part.
I know we have just a couple of minutes left here, and I was reading an interview, a printed interview, and I don't know how long ago it was. Might have been just a few years ago, in which you were working at the time with a couple of opera singers, Jesse Norman and Barbara Hendricks. What was that like, and how easy was that? Or difficult might that have been for you to do with your voice, which is already an astounding voice in the first place?
Well, I whenever I performed with lyric singers, you know, I have always said jazz and let them, you know, do the classical part, with the exception of a project that I did, but that was only in Paris, so, and it was a one-time concert. And where I did do operatic singing, and was asked by two big opera agents to go into opera, and I was like, no,
not going to do that.
Maybe I should have. Yeah, I need the freedom.
So you're not going to be recording Carmen anytime soon?
No, but I did perform it.
And I wished I could have heard that. That sounds like it would have been a blast.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I thank you very much for talking with us on the show, and we're really looking forward to having you.
And I hope that I will see a lot of folks from Champaign-Urbana area when I come back. You know, the University of Illinois claims me as an alumni, and I'm very proud of that fact. And so I'm very much looking forward to coming back and coming to the campus and everything, being at the Granite Center, and that's where it all started.
Yeah. And so that's on Saturday, 7:30, Dee Dee Bridgewater, to Billy with Love, a celebration of Lady Day. For more information, go to CranertCenter.com. Thanks very much, and
You are so welcome.
Dee Dee Bridgewater, All of Me, Gerald Marks and Seymour Simon's song, also recorded by Billie Holiday. And again, Dee Dee Bridgewater will be at the Granite Center this Saturday with a Billie Holiday tribute show. And we'll hear one more of hers yet before we go out with the show today. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here's our calendar for today. Most of what I've got is in the Champaign-Urbana area, and I would like very much to know about performances and ensembles and individual performers in your listening area, in your town. If you're in the sound of my voice, then you're within our listening area, and therefore we'd like to know about these things and get them onto this show one way or another. You can write to me anytime at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. Tonight is the weekly Irish traditional music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. It's at 7 o'clock. At the Iron Post in downtown Urbana, at 5 o'clock tonight, it's the Woody Woodward Organ Trio, and then at 9 o'clock, Mean Lids. Tomorrow at Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater in Goodfield, starting at 6 o'clock, it's Not Now, Darling, their current show, and that'll run on Friday and Saturday at 6 also, and brunch time on Sunday. At the Krannert Center tomorrow night, it's Ralph Lemon, How Can You Stay in the House All Day and Not Go Anywhere, his current show. That starts at 7:30 tomorrow night. Chicken Shack is at Baxter's American Grill in Bloomington Normal tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And there's a faculty recital tomorrow night at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center in Charleston. I'm sorry, I didn't write down who is actually performing that recital. That's tomorrow night, 7:30. The U of I Combo, Jazz Combo, led by Joan Hickey, will be at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And looking ahead to Friday, Grassroots Revival is at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood, Friday night at 5:30. The Milliken Concert Band is on the quad at Milliken University in Decatur Friday at 4 o'clock, and a group called Concertino, vocal group I believe, is performing at Central Christian Church in Decatur Friday evening at 6 o'clock. And those are just, and I'll look ahead to this one, Swing Night with the Sandy Hackle Orchestra at the Decatur Airport Hangar. That is Friday night from 7 to 10 with dance lessons starting at 6 o'clock if you want to get yourself geared up for that event. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. On tomorrow's show, we will have Deke Weaver, who is responsible for a performance from the Unreliable Bestiary called Elephant. It's going to be next week, September 23rd through 27th. It's rather an intriguing concept, and I'll talk with Deke Weaver on tomorrow's show. And we'll also talk with Trevor Orthman, who's executive director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, about their upcoming concert season, which begins next weekend. The forecast calls for mostly sunny afternoon and a high at around 88 degrees. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms with a low near 65. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then a mostly sunny sky in the afternoon. High tomorrow, about 75. And Friday, the high will be around 78 degrees under a mostly sunny sky. Support for our shows today comes in part from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, 90.9, WYNL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Stay tuned for the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor coming up in just a minute, and then classical music at 106. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we'll leave you with more Dee Dee Bridgewater. This is the Gershwin tune, A Foggy Day.
I was a stranger in the city. Out of town were the people I knew. I had a feeling of self-pity. What to do? What to do?